Tonight's topic is justice and equitability. Equity. And I'll tell you why in a minute I said justice and equitability. I begin by saying with this introduction, brothers and sisters, one of the things that many people overlook is that they might perform acts of worship. They might perform them very well, but at the same time, they may lose rewards of their acts of worship when they take other people's rights or treat them with injustice. And when you act in injustice towards others, you give them your good deeds and you take from them their sins. And everyone will be held accountable on the day of judgment for what they have done. Allah may forgive his rights because it's between you and Allah, but Allah does not automatically forgive the rights of others whom you and I may have violated knowingly. The only way is that for others whom we have violated their rights, done injustice to them, only they can free you or myself on a day of judgment if they forgive us. So be careful about the rights of people, even the animals. And we have to know that not even an atom's weight of good deeds or bad deeds, justice or injustice, fairness or oppression is going to be ignored on the day of judgment. The rights of all beings and the system of the entire universe, which Allah created, is based on justice and equitability. In Arabic, justice and equity is called al-adl and al-qist. Justice and equity is adl and qist. These are the two words that appear in the Quran. And al-adl, which means justice, is repeated at least 27 times in 27 different passages in the Quran. The word al-qist, which means equitability, is also mentioned at least 27 to 29 times in 29 different passages. Any tiny change in this universe or in our actions that upset the system of justice and fairness corrupts things around it. When you don't have justice, you don't have equity, putting things where they belong, giving people what they deserve, then it causes corruption always. When you look at the universe, you see how Allah has placed everything in due proportion, everything where it's meant to be, and He expects us to also, in our lives, live as individuals and with our families and our communities and with everything around us, also according to his system of justice and equity. Otherwise, corruption occurs. Allah says in the Quran, in this particular verse which I want to recite, it's a verse which the Prophet, peace be upon him, advised us to teach every single one of our children as soon as they are able to memorize and comprehend. The ayah is in Surah 25, verse 2. Allah says, الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض ولم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك وخلق كل شيء فقدره تقديرا. Allah says, He to whom belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth, who has taken to himself no son, nor has he taken any partner in his kingdom, who created everything and then ordained it in due proportion, or he has appointed an exact measure for everything, or determined its exact destiny. All these are the meanings to mean a perfect balance and justice. And if we don't go by this same balance and justice, which comes from the one true God in this verse, which is the pinnacle verse of the meaning of monotheism, of true tawheed, then any other verse in the Quran, if we don't go by that, corruption happens. The sunnah of Allah, which means the way that Allah has governed this universe, Allah says, وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَحْوِيلًا. You will never find any change or alteration to the way Allah created the system of this universe in our lives. It cannot be altered, it cannot be changed. And Allah insists that everybody falls into that system, otherwise injustice, corruption, and terrible atrocities happen. In the hadith which is in Sahih Muslim, number 2582, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَتُؤَدُّنَّ الْحُقُوقَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يُقْتَصُ لِلشَّاتِ الْجَمَّاءِ مِنَ الشَّاتِ الْقَرْنَاءِ بِنَطْحِهَا. I swear an oath, the Prophet said, that you will be made to deliver and settle every single right back to their rightful owners on the day of resurrection, so much so that even the ewe, a ewe is a female sheep, which was hornless, didn't have any horns, will be resurrected to take its right from the ewe, the female sheep, which did have horns and had headbutted the other female sheep who did not have horns. He will resurrect it to bring and settle so they can be balanced and justice is served. And note, the female sheep, the ewes, normally don't have horns depending on the breed or the genetics. So what does this mean? It means some female sheep were born disadvantaged. Do you remember when I said justice, adil, and then I said another word, qist, which means equitability? Equitability is when you give fairness to specific people who have disadvantages or according to what suits them. So justice is for everybody, a general statement. And to be equitable, meaning to look at the circumstances of each individual and give them the justice that is fair to them. Like this ewe, because of its genetics, because of its breed, it wasn't born with horns. But the other one had the advantage of being like a wild sheep and like that, they have horns. If it headbutted one that didn't have horns, the one that didn't have horns couldn't take its revenge, couldn't take its right, Allah will resurrect both of them and say, you take your right now. And then Allah says, "Kunu turaba," now turn back into dust. So much so, brothers and sisters, that a bird will complain to Allah. A bird will complain to Allah on the day of judgment. The hadith is in Sahih ibn Hibban. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Man qatala usfuran abathan," whoever kills a small bird just out of play, you want to shoot it for nothing or kill it for nothing, "Aada ila Allah yawm al-qiyamati yaqulu ya rabb inna fulalan qatalani abathan wa lam yaqtulni manfa'atan." The bird on the day of judgment, no matter how big or small, will say to Allah, complaining and protesting, "My Lord, my Lord, so and so shot me or killed me just to play games, and he had no benefit in killing me." Allah will resurrect that bird to complain about that human who did that to it. Subhanallah. In the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, he had a very strict justice system which people could not play around with whatsoever. And he used to go around in the markets, and one of the first things he did was apply consumer rights and consumer affairs justice and equity among the business people. And he found out that some people were selling fraudulent amounts of milk to the people. They would mix the milk with water to make the milk look more and then charge more as if they're selling the customers pure milk. For example, instead of selling them 1 liter of pure milk, they would sell them half a liter of pure milk and then add the water, because it's white, the consumer thinks it's 1 liter of milk. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu made a law. Anybody who is caught mixing milk with water and selling it to the customers without the customer's knowledge is going to be subjected to a punishment. One day, he was walking around at night, his usual habit. He used to go and check on the people in secret to make sure that they are looked after, because he was a leader, and a leader has to be just and fair and put himself before the people. So he would walk around disguised so that people can feel comfortable in not being afraid when he walks and seeing what people need. As he was looking after them, he sat with his back to a wall. Now, this wall happened to be a wall of one of the homes of some people, and there was a garden behind it. He didn't know. So as he sat down to rest, he accidentally heard a mother and a daughter behind the wall, accidentally, where they were milk sellers. And the mother is telling her daughter, mix the milk with water. You know, we make profit, don't worry. And the daughter said to her mother, but mother, didn't you hear Amir al-Mu'mineen today? Didn't you hear the leader of the believers, Umar radiallahu anhu, declaring a punishment for anyone who mixes milk with water? Then her mother said to her, and where is Umar to see? He's not here, don't worry about him. You can get away with it. So the daughter said to her mother, what about Allah? Doesn't Allah see what we're doing? The next day, Umar al-Khattab came with his son. He had a young son. They knocked on their door. The mother answered, and he told her what he had heard. The mother got scared, obviously, and she said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, please forgive us. We won't do it again. He said, don't worry. We don't judge. In other words, they didn't judge unless they were brought to account. And he had sat next to the wall, he accidentally heard it, so he covered up for her. He forgave her, told her not to do it again, but he said, I came here to ask about your amazing daughter. I have a son who wants to get married. And your daughter is somebody who is trustworthy and honest, fears Allah. I want to propose on behalf of my son to your daughter. And she said, oh, what great news. And he married his son to her daughter because he loved her piety so much. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us by sending throughout the ages of all the prophets guidelines, parameters of justice and fairness. And he sent down books and scriptures. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hadid,
لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانَ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدَ فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ وَرُسُلَهُ بِالْغَيْبِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ
Surah Al-Hadid, Surah 57, verse 25, Allah says, indeed we sent our messengers with clear signs and sent down with them the book and the balance that people may uphold justice. And we sent down iron, wherein there is awesome power and many benefits for people, so that Allah may know who, without even having seen him, helps him and his messengers. Surely Allah is most strong, most mighty. Allah sent down the book, the Quran, the scriptures before, to guide people as a standard to know what is ethically and morally just and fair, and to act upon it. And he sent his messengers to clearly explain those verses. And he sent down the mizan, meaning the scale or the balance of life, of how to be equitable. Mizan means scale. And the only time the Quran, Allah mentions in the Quran, qist, which means to be equitable, is when he mentions scale and measures. Everybody has their own measure. If you're tall and the other person's short, we don't give you the same measurement of clothing, correct? Each one according to their height and their body shape. This is how you are equitable. To be just means that both of them have a right to clothing in the same way. To be equitable is to give each one the clothing that fits them best. So Allah called that mizan. To be equitable means to give the share of the people what they deserve. To be just meaning to follow a system of equality where everybody is in the same right to the same laws. The reason Allah mentioned here, note, hadid, which means iron. Allah sent down iron. There's two things to learn here. Iron was actually sent down from space. And there are new studies today who tell us that a lot of the iron came from meteorites and asteroids and so on. So Allah says, وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ, meaning we sent down hadid. Of course, when you say sent down, it means to us as humans, when we're standing on earth, we obviously look up. To our sight, it looks like it's coming down. The point is, iron was sent from space. And the Quran said this 1,400 and so years ago. The second reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions iron here is because the verse means Allah did not raise his prophets in the world just to present a scheme for the establishment of justice, but it was also a part of their mission to endeavor to enforce justice practically, to collect necessary power to establish justice in all spheres of life, to punish those who might disrupt it, and to break the power of those who might resist it. And this is why sometimes people stand in protests, or they stand to voice their voices against injustice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it when people speak justice. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to us that jihad, fighting in the cause of Allah or struggling against injustice, is many levels. And he said, the highest of all those levels is to say a truthful word before a tyrant, oppressive sultan, an authority that has power over you, and you are weak, and you voice a voice of justice, meaning you advise them, you say it, of course, with wisdom, because most people will be afraid. My brothers and sisters, I said that the Arabic word for justice mentioned in the Quran is Adl. And one of Allah's names is Al-Adl. He is the most perfect. He is the most just and the perfect one in justice. His justice is perfection. And there is another important word I said. It's called Al-Qist, which is more specific than justice, meaning equity and fairness. So justice and equity and fairness are both part of this whole fairness and equity and the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be in life. The word justice and the word equity are a little bit different in the following way, as I said before. Justice is equality without favoritism. What is owed to all people in the same way per rules or customs. There's no favoritism. A person's color, a person's clan, he's from my family, this person is male or female, I've got discrimination with gender or something like that. Everybody has the same right to the same judicial system. Al-qist, equity, means what each person deserves, what is deserved, being fair to others according to their individual circumstances and situations. I'll give you an example. Let's say there is a fence, and behind that fence, there is a beautiful field where people want to look at. If the fence is too high and you have tall people and short people, and the fence is too high, obviously there'll be injustice here. So then we cater for the short people so that they can also see like the way the tall people see. So what do we do, for example? We build higher blocks for the short people to stand on. So now both the short person and the tall person can see the field. That's called qist, which means equity, giving the share of each person as they deserve. Justice, adl, means to lower the entire fence, and now everybody can see in the same way, whether short or tall. Both of them are important in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most just, as I said, and He is the most equitable. One of the other names of Allah is Al-Muqsit, the one who gives each person's share and each being's share according to the fair way that they deserve. And Allah does not oppress anybody. Allah says in the Quran,
إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ وَإِن تَكُ حَسَنَةً يُضَاعِفْهَا وَيُؤْتِ مِن لَّدُنْهُ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا.
Surah 4, verse 40, Allah says, indeed Allah wrongs none, not even as much as an atom's weight. Whenever a man does good, he multiplies it twofold and bestows out of his grace a mighty reward. So now we've got a third name of Allah. We've got the name of Allah, Al-Adl, the just. Treats everyone without favoritism. Number two, Al-Muqsit, the one who looks at even the atom's worth of deeds that a person did or didn't do and measures it according to each individual. And number three, Allah is merciful. Allah is generous, Kareem, which means that after Allah exercises justice on the Day of Judgment and gives everyone what they deserve, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then exercises His mercy and His generosity for whomever He wills. Forgives whoever He wills, gives more to whoever He wills. So ask Allah of His bounty. One of the beautiful du'as is to say, oh Allah, deal with me with your mercy, forgiveness, and bounty, and do not deal with me only with justice. So asking Allah for His bounty and His fadl is a beautiful dua. Allah says,
وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ.
Surah 21, verse 47, Allah says, we shall set up just scales on the day of resurrection, so that none will be wronged in the least. We shall bring forth the acts of everyone, even if it be the weight of a grain of a mustard seed. Enough is that for us as a reckoning. And this also serves a little bit of a relief for people who have been wronged. That nothing that you've been wronged by in this life, by anyone or anything, will go in vain. Allah will record all your losses, all the victimizations, all the wrong that anyone did to you, even if it were an atom's worth, even if it were a look or a whisper against you that was unfair and unjust. Allah will bring it and expose it, and your right will never be lost. If it's lost in this world, it will not be lost in the hereafter. Allah says also, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. Whoever does an atom's weight of goodness will see it on the Day of Judgment. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. And whoever does an atom's weight of bad, they will see it on the Day of Judgment. In the Hadith al-Qudsi, Hadith which is said on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is called Hadith Qudsi. In Sahih Muslim, number 2577, Allah says, and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says on behalf of Allah, Ya ibadi, inni harramtu al-zulma ala nafsi, wa ja'altuhu baynakum muharrama, fala tazalamu. O my servants, O my worshippers, I have made oppression forbidden upon myself, Allah says, and I made it forbidden between you. So do not treat one another with oppression and wronging. Allah also says in the Quran, وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَعْدِلُوا وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَى. When you speak, merely speak, be just and fair, even if it is against your own near family and kin. Surah 6, number 158. Justice and fairness applies even to people who you love, people who are close to you, even your own father, your own mother, your own child, your own self, your own siblings. It applies even to the people you love. When it comes to justice, my brothers and sisters, and fairness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, separate your emotions, separate your love, separate your hatred, separate your own motives, separate your feelings from justice and fairness. Allah says, when you speak, be just and equitable. If just speaking we are ordered to be just and fair, then imagine actions. Actions are even greater than words. So automatically we know that actions are even more important in applying justice and fairness than even our words. Justice in what, my dear brothers and sisters? Justice in business, in financial affairs and transactions, in our work ethics, in our consumer rights, customer service, employment, everything, in our promises to people, in the trusts that we have been entrusted with. As witnesses, if we are called to witness, we have to be honest. Saying things about others, you know, when we pass on information about others, we have to be fair and just. Is it right? Is it not right? Is it fair for me to say it? Is it not? Have I got the whole information? Is it good? Is it bad? Saying things about others. Advising. We advise with justice. We don't advise, for example, for our own motive. In treatment, we have to be just and fair to our spouses, husbands and wives, to our children, to our parents, to our relatives, to our neighbors. We have to be fair and just in our ruling if we're going to rule or if we are in authority. The entire universe is built on justice and equity, and the whole life is so. Allah says in the Quran, O believers, in Surah 4, number 135, verse 135, believers, be upholders of justice and bearers of witness to truth for the sake of Allah, meaning according to the way Allah commanded you to be, not according to your whims and desires and emotions, not according to your own family and who you love or don't, even though it may either be against yourselves or against your parents or against your relatives or the rich or the poor, for Allah is more concerned with their well-being than you are. Allah is more concerned with their well-being than you are, meaning if you do not apply justice and fairness, guess what? Even your relatives, your families, your community, your friends will all suffer from injustice by that one injustice that you do. So Allah says, Allah is more concerned with their well-being than you are. Meaning if you're going to lie and be unjust, thinking it's my friend, it's my family, it's my brother and sister, it's my clan, it's my tribe, and you say, I'm going to be unjust by harming others and taking justice from us, Allah said, don't do that thinking that you're doing something good for them, as if you love them more than me, or that your well-being for them is more, you are more concerned for their well-being than I am. Allah says, don't think that I'm more concerned about their well-being than you, Allah says. And yet I tell you, be just even if it's against your kith and kin. Do not then, Allah says, do not then follow your own desires, lest you keep away from justice. If you twist or turn away from the truth, know that Allah is well aware of all that you do, in secret or in open. Allah also says, Surah 5, number verse 8, O believers, be upright, bearers of witness for Allah, and do not let the enmity of any people move you to deviate from justice. Not even an enemy of yours. Not even someone you despise and hate, even someone who took your right and you want to destroy their lives, Allah even says in this case, don't cross the boundaries. You even have to be fair and just to them. Act justly. That is nearer to God-fearing, and fear Allah. Surely Allah is well aware of what you do. We know the story of the companion who was in the battlefield and one of the enemy soldiers was fighting him. He wanted to kill him. The enemy fell to the ground. So the enemy said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah." I bear witness there is only Allah, one God worthy of worship, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. But he still killed him. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became angry with that. The man got very scared that Allah's wrath is going to befall him. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't do any retribution because it was still new to them and the man didn't really know. He said, "Ya Rasulullah," he only said it out of fear. You can tell, it's obvious he said it out of fear, so I don't kill him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, "You killed him while he bade witness that there is only one God worthy of worship, Muhammad is messenger." And he's in the enemy lines fighting. He wanted to kill him. He said, "You said," because in Islam, once, when you fight, you don't fight for your personal endeavors or motives, unless you're protecting your property or life. But when the Muslims used to fight, they fought in the name of Allah in order to get rid of persecution and to allow people to practice their religion and not to force anyone into religion if they don't want to, but to give them freedom to hear, to propagate, and so on, and to practice their religion freely, Muslim, Christian, Jew, all of that. And so this was a war where Muslims were being persecuted. He's supposed to have done it for Allah. He said, "You killed him after he said there is only one God worthy of worship," and he became a Muslim. He said, "Ya Rasulullah," he said it out of fear, and then he said, "Ashaqaqta an qalbi." Did you open up his heart to see if he said it out of fear or not? This is, to that point, is justice and fairness, my brothers and sisters. Right to that point. A man was, Prophet ﷺ was walking with his companions once, and a little bird was fluttering above the Prophet ﷺ anxiously, a mother bird. Rasul ﷺ turned to the people, to his companions, and said, "Who took the eggs of this mother bird from its nest?" One companion said, "I did, Ya Rasulullah, the journey is long, I thought I'll eat them later." He said to him, "لقد أفجعت هذه الأم." You have caused grief to this mother. The bird returned its babies back to its nest. That much justice. La ilaha illallah. So do not let your hatred or enmity to a people swerve you off the justice. Be fair and just. And bite your tongue and step on your heart. That is the ultimate fear of Allah, the ultimate iman. Having said all this, my brothers and sisters, now we understand that even the trust, if you were entrusted with something, someone left something with you, or somebody had you had a contract with someone and an agreement, whatever the trust is, if you gave me that trust and I promised you to look after it and I broke that trust deliberately, and I don't repent and seek your forgiveness, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that that person will be ordered to go into hellfire. And the trust that was given to them, it will be transformed into an object that is thrown in the fire. And the person has to go into the fire to grab it, carry it on their back and bring it back. And it is heavier than a mountain. And it's so heavy. And it's heavy for the person. That's called the amana. That much justice in Islam. There is a narration. Its meaning is true. I'm not sure of its authenticity, but it is mentioned in Tariqh al-Tabari, Bidayah wa Nihaya, about Ali radiallahu anhu or another companion. So apparently in Medina, there was a Jewish man and there was Ali radiallahu anhu. And Ali radiallahu anhu's shield became missing. So one day he saw his shield with the Jewish man. He said to him, "This is my shield." The Jewish man said, "No, it's mine." He said, "It's mine. No, it's not yours." He said, "How about we go and get judicial litigation? We go to a judge. Are you happy with Al-Qadi Subhanallah, who was it? Sharahbil? Qadi Juray? I forgot the name of the Qadi, is it well known? Subhanallah. Jalla man la yansa. So they said, okay, we'll go to him. We went to a judge, and the judge said to the man, he called him by his name, the defendant, he told him to come forward, but by his name. And when he came to address Ali radiallahu anhu, he called him Amir al-Mu'minin. So Ali radiallahu anhu refused to go forward, and he became upset. The judge asked, did I say anything wrong, Amir al-Mu'minin? He said, you are supposed to be fair and just in your ruling between us. You called him by his name, and you called me by my position. If you want to treat us fairly and justly, you have to address me the same way you address him, and him the same way me. So he called him Ali. Ali, come forward. He said, now. So in Islam, the rule for justice in a court system is this. If you claim something, it is you who has to bring the evidence to your claim. And the defendant who denies has to swear oath in court in front of witnesses that what the claimant is saying is a lie. If there is no evidence from the claimant, the defendant swears an oath and it's declared that the property is his. Then it's between them and Allah. So he said to Ali radiallahu anhu, what dalil, what evidence? Ad-dalilu ala al-mudda'i wal-yaminu ala man ankar. The evidence has to be produced by the claimant. What evidence do you have, Ya Ali, that this shield is yours? He says, just my word. It's my word against his. I got no evidence, no witnesses. He said to the Jewish man, swear oath by God that this is yours. He swore an oath. He said, the shield is his, Ali, you have nothing. And he was happy. They walked out, because that was justice in Islam. That's the best type of justice according to the Quran. As they walked out, the narration says that the Jewish man loved this justice and gave Ali radiallahu anhu the shield. And I don't know, it says that he could have embraced Islam, or that he just loved and said good words about the justice system. So this is how it used to be. And this is the way Allah and his messengers have taught us. Tayyib, brothers and sisters, now let's dive a little bit deeper. Let's ask a question. What is justice based on? And how do I know what is just and fair? What is the standard? You might say, no, that's fair. I might say, no, that's fair. You might say, no, based on this, this is justice. Another person may say, no, based on that, that's justice. Who's right? Who's wrong? Is it up to the individuals? Is it up to the community? Is it up to your opinion and my opinion? What is it up to? As Muslims, as I recited before, first of all, we look into the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we look at what Allah has already guided us with. If it is clear, black and white, this is the justice, this is the way to go, then for a Muslim, their belief in what is just and equitable is based on two things. Number one, Allah's parameters, and number two, universal sense of justice. So everybody has a sense of justice. So there's a universal sense of justice. But now another question. What about the justice according to the laws of the land that you live in? This is a tough question, probably controversial for some people. But I need to address it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me the assistance in doing justice to this question. Number one, if the law of the land that you live in, which has put the parameters of justice, is not according to the Quran and Sunnah, then we look at the following things. Number one, if it agrees with Islam and the universal sense of justice, then yes and good. We believe in that same justice, even if it comes from a secular system or disbelievers. If it agrees with the Islamic parameters and the universal sense of justice, then we believe in it too. For example, here in Australia, if someone stole from you and you went to the court and you have evidence, they will get the authority to enforce returning that right to you or compensate you in some way. Does this agree with Islam? Of course. Of course. So therefore, we believe in it too. Tayyib, number two. If the justice system of the land that you live in, if it is injustice, let's say there are laws that are unjust, some parts of the world it's like that, then so long as you do not adopt it as a belief in your heart and you are unable to influence its change through its legal and peaceful channels, because we are not ordered to disrupt a country, either leave it or try to change it through the legal and peaceful means, then you have no choice but to abide by it, but while your heart does not agree with it. Not everybody is happy with all the laws. Some people say that's not fair, that's fair. The law says, well, you have to do it. These are the taxes. This is how it has to work. This is the litigation. You have no choice. But while your heart does not agree with it, until Allah opens a peaceful way out for you, or to use a legal way for you to act according to your beliefs and choices, if the law allows you to have a choice to take a right of yours in a different way, and it allows you to do that, you can do it. For example, if a country you live in restricts the freedom to practice certain religious rites, and you can't change it, you have no say, then you just don't believe in that as justice in your heart, and you are in a case of necessity. You can't do anything about it. Or another example, if you are legally obligated to purchase or pay for something that is deemed unfair in your religious beliefs, like usury, interest, or certain insurance products to remain licensed in your operating business for your livelihood, or where a wife's marriage dowry is not recognized, because in Islam that is justice to give her dowry, or where a single mother must pay child support if she earns higher than the children's father, and so on. Of course, in Islam, this is not considered fair and just. But in certain countries, this is considered how they see it as fair and just. If you don't have a way out, you're unable to litigate it through outside means, and you're forced to face that, khalas, in your heart you say, I don't agree with this justice, but you go with it. And you are not accountable in front of Allah. My brothers and sisters, I'll give you now some examples. Let's dive into even deeper than that. Here are some areas of justice and equity which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the religion of Islam has spoken about. We'll give you some examples of where we must apply it. Racism, racism and equality. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا فَرْقَ لِعَرَبِيٍّ عَلَىٰ أَعْجَمِيٍّ إِلَّا بِالتَّقْوَىٰ. There is no favoritism, no difference between an Arab above a non-Arab except in piety, taqwallah. And that's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to judge the hearts and the actions. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in his last sermon, abandon racism, for I have placed it under my feet. And he called it similar to a dead carcass on the road. فَإِنَّهَا مُنْتِنَا. It is stinking. It only gives out corruption. So racism and equality in there is a core belief in Islam, and we must abide by it and not see color. Otherwise, if we see color and treat people based on color, when I say see color, I mean we give favoritism and unfairness based on a person's color or race or background or gender, male or female, and so on, then we have become unjust. Number two, towards women. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, An-nisa'u ashiqa'u al-rijal. Women are the peers of men. meaning they are equal in value, they are equal in importance, they are equal in receiving the same rewards as men from Allah. Allah does not favor giving a man more rewards for his good actions than giving, and then gives less rewards for a woman for her good actions. But we are supporters of one another. The roles, some roles may be different in life, and some commands and prohibitions may be a little bit different, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards each one same and does not differentiate between them in their prospective roles in life. Spouses and family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has dictated and drawn clear boundaries of rights and obligations between the husband and wife, children and their parents. Parents have rights, your children have rights, your siblings have rights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us what they are. It is an obligation for us to learn what they are and to practice them rightfully and according to justice and fairness. Nothing has to overcome the other. For example, if in-laws want to dictate something to the daughter-in-law, which is not their right to do according to Islam, then this is injustice. Or the son-in-law is obliged, you know, to do certain things for his in-laws and so on. When they are oppressing him with it, this is haram. Each person has their right and their boundary. Polygamy is a topic that a lot of people ask me about. I like to avoid this topic because it requires a bit of explanation, but since we are talking about justice and equity, I have found that in some communities they do injustice when it comes to polygamous marriages. Now, a disclaimer: here in Australia, polygamy is illegal, and I'm a marriage celebrant registered, so I never do such thing. Wallah, I don't. But if you are in a place where polygamy, you know, you can do it and you're allowed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, for example, marry the women that seem good to you, two or three or four. If you fear that you will not be able to treat them justly, then marry only one. Surah An-Nisa, number 4, verse number 3. What I wanted to point out here is not the multiple wives. I think men heard that very clearly, and then we kind of hear the next part a little bit muffled up, which is, if you fear that you will not be able to treat them justly, then marry only one. There is no other scripture, religious scripture in the world that I know of, which mentions marry one woman, except the Quran. But if you fear that you will not be able to treat them justly, then only marry one. Merely fearing that. And Allah says in the Quran, however, you will not be able to treat your wives with absolute justice, not even when you keenly desire to do so. Some people now look at this verse and they say, first you fear doing justice between them, and now this verse says you will never be able to be just between them. Is this a contradiction? No. This is a slight concession, saying although you must deal justly with them, it's going to be impossible to be absolutely just. In what way? Emotions, desire, in that way. So feelings and abilities which are outside of your control. There will be some injustice, but it's outside of your control. Allah says, it suffices in order to follow the law of Allah that you incline not wholly to one, leaving the other in suspense. Meaning, don't ignore the other one. Do as much justice as you can. Now, brothers and sisters, here is a modern issue that has come up a lot, and I probably will be the most daring one and courageous one to talk about it. Don't kill the messenger. Modern issue in relation to people who get married in secret. Secret marriages. Whether the marriage is secret with one wife or multiple wives. As I said, where it's legal and allowed. My brothers and sisters, there is a problem with these types of secret marriages. Since we are talking about justice and equity, we need to address this carefully. The Prophet, peace be upon him, for example, said, "A'linu an-nikah." The hadith is in Sunan Ahmad and Ibn Hibban. "A'linu an-nikah," and other similar hadiths like it. Publicize your marriage. So it is a sunnah recommended to publicize it. At least, some scholars said, if you get married and all you have are two witnesses, and you have the wali, who is the legal guardian of the woman, and the mahar is agreed upon, and the consent of both parties is there, it is considered a valid marriage, even if you don't tell other people about it. It's valid, valid. But is it right? The question now is, what is going to happen afterwards? If you keep it a secret with one wife, or you keep it a secret and you have two or three wives, and each one is secret from the other, so let's say someone's married and they marry a second wife, the second one knows, the first one doesn't know. Or if it's one wife and nobody knows, here's what's going to happen. In relation to justice and fairness, the right of one wife is given, which is she gets to know that she is married to one husband and she's his own wife. Whereas the other one, one of them gets to know that she is a second wife. The other one still thinks she's a first wife. She doesn't get to know. So already this is injustice in knowledge. Number two, spending issues. She has a right to know about the spending, what's happening, because now it's going to change. She has a right to know her livelihood because the right of the wife is to be spent on. Number four, children's rights. The second wife, for example, because her marriage is secret, not allowed to know, the first one can have babies because everybody knows, no problem. But the second one, if she has a baby, she's in danger. So they might delay her right to have babies. And I've seen this happen a lot. There is injustice there. Also, inheritance issues. What if the husband dies? Maybe the second wife might be denied of inheritance. Maybe there'll be fights. There are so many aspects that build on these secret marriages which cause injustice later on. So this is one thing that I wanted to point out. The marriage is valid, but what will result later on is likely to be injustice. Sometimes the second wife is scared to say, "I am married," in case her news gets around and then the husband divorces her. Is that fair? This is not fair. Some ulama called it khiyana. Forgive me for the word, they called it a betrayal of the first wife or the second one. Some of them live for 2 years hiding. Is that fair? One gets to be seen with her husband, the other one's not, because she fears they may split apart. That is not fair, my brothers and sisters. So let us, inshallah, fear Allah more. If you violated someone's right, you must apologize to them and return what you took or compensate them for their loss if you can. In business, we all know in business how many injustices happen in business. We agree on something and then we breach the agreement. We agree on a particular work and then we cut corners. We agree on a price and then I cheat you and so on and so forth. Cheap labor, so on and so forth. Business injustice happens so often. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Number four, law and retribution. Question, can I go to a secular man-made judicial system, a non-Muslim court, to litigate my rights? Am I allowed? Because the first thing that comes to my mind is the ayah in the Quran where Allah forbids us. He says, يَتَحَاكَمُونَ إِلَى الطَّغُوتِ. They go to the laws other than Allah's laws to seek their litigation. وَقَدْ أُمِرُوا أَنْ يَكْفُرُوا بِهِ. And they were commanded to disbelieve in it. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ. And whoever does not rule by what Allah has sent down, then they are the corruptors, they are the disbelievers, and so on. So these verses come to mind, they are true. But my brothers and sisters, I will relate to you what a sheikh, one of the reputable sheikhs, Ibn Uthaymeen, said in his book, Zadul Mustaqni'. He said, a questioner asks him, is it okay for us to take our issues to people who judge based on secular laws, even or non-Islamic laws, even if we know we are right, or should we just let our rights slip away? Ibn Uthaymeen answers, Ibn al-Qayyim, a respected scholar, mentioned in his book, in his introduction to his book, The Ways of Judgment, At-Turuq al-Hukmiyya, that some scholars say you should not go to them for justice and just let your rights go. But Ibn al-Qayyim refutes that argument by saying, this does not help anyone, especially since so many people judge unfairly and don't follow God's rules. You can seek litigation and judgment from secular courts, but if the court's order is given to you in your favor, something you know you did not have the right to take based on what Allah said you have the right to take, if it goes against what Allah told you you can take, you do not take it. Take out what you know is not your right. But we shouldn't just surrender to losing our rights, like properties that belong to heirs, for example, just because someone is judging in a different law system. If they rule fairly, then it's fine to accept their decision, no matter who it comes from. Then the questioner asks, what about a lawyer who represents that person? He said, as for the lawyer's role, if the person he represents is in the right, then it's totally fine for him to act on their behalf. Another one. This is the fatwas from the Permanent Scholarly Committee for Fatwas, Da'wah and Guidance in Saudi Arabia, the major scholars. The question is to them, what is the ruling on going to American courts for disputes between Muslims like divorce or business matters? The answer they gave is, it is not allowed for a Muslim to take their issues to secular courts unless it is really necessary and there are no Sharia courts available, i.e., no other option to get your rights. And if the court rules in their favor in a way that is not just, they shouldn't take what they were awarded. So it is a bit more open than what we thought. Our rights are important. And if the only way you can get your right back, you take the person to court. And if it is not your right, whatever you got out of that litigation, you give it back. Or you don't take it. My brothers and sisters, last couple of examples, inshallah. Social media. Social media today, I think, is a test of our desires, our emotions, our egos, and our sense of justice and fairness. Why? Because you are free to comment and write and post whatever you want. Nobody's going to stand in your way. You are free to voice your opinion and say whatever you like. Okay, that's good. No problem. But it will not go unaccounted for with Allah, if not in this world. So be fearing of Allah, to be fair and just in the comments you write about people or about anything, especially if you speak without knowledge. The worst injustice one can do is speaking about Islam, saying halal, haram, fatwa, allowed, not allowed, without deep and correct knowledge. They may think they have knowledge, but really correct knowledge, tested knowledge. Or to speak about someone else without knowing the full information. Attacking unjustly and building a following to join in the attack and bullying like a gang mentality against someone. Sometimes, and I've seen these comments, I stay away from commenting on social media because of this. There are so many ambiguities on social media. I can't just take one post and say yes and believe it. Accusations and stories and opinions that are uncensored. Nobody's looking over the person to see what they're saying. They can say whatever you want. So I like to talk in general without naming anybody. But sometimes you see people go on social media, they'll make a post. In their opinion, and they know the story. And then they write, why are the scholars silent about someone or something? Their silence is complicit. So now they gaslight you. As if now we have to get up, sheikhs and da'is and other scholars, just because some person we don't know and don't know what the story is behind it, gets up and makes a post to provoke you. Now we have to speak. And sometimes we might speak and oppress someone else because we don't know the full story. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu in ja'akum fasiqun binaba'in fatabayyan. Oh, you have believed. If a corrupter comes to you with news that is negative, then clarify and verify. Sometimes the person may not be a fasiq, may not be a bad person, but you can tell from the way they're talking, someone has started a negative news which can cause danger, which can cause bad reputation for someone, or even destroy a family or anything like that. We have to verify. Some people go up, because they're like this or they're like that. They say names and accusations. So my brothers and sisters, everything that is written, every post that a person has put out, we will be questioned about it. In this day and age, social media has become a fighting field where you get more views and more attention for controversies and negativity, because people love dramas. That's how they make movies. You always got to have the dramatic part. And so everybody talks, and then you start getting more views, and some people want money out of it. Nowadays, they put a face of someone, and they start talking. This person, another one, and then another one refutes and put another face of another face, and then this person starts refuting the one who refuted him, and the one who refuted the other person. Right? They've got like four people. Everyone's refuting everyone else. Just confusing. Ya ikhwan, my brothers and sisters. We should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be careful not to act on emotions and not to just talk and talk and talk, not knowing what the consequences are. Seek advice from people who are level-headed and wise, inshallah ta'ala. So my brothers and sisters, that's all I wanted to say in this evening. The topic of justice is huge, but I conclude with the dua. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who apply justice in this life and to those around us, and to make us among those who will be gathered with the just people on the Day of Judgment. I ask Allah to forgive our sins and to have mercy on us, to pardon us from our shortcomings, and whoever we have wronged or taken their right or said a word that we shouldn't have said, or violated anybody in any way that we cannot remember, oh Allah, turn it for them into a deed of sadaqah, as if they gave sadaqah. Oh Allah, reward them and forgive them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our community in goodness, love, justice, and support. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our brothers and sisters in Gaza. We just heard now that the ceasefire has ended, unfortunately. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring about justice for them and all those oppressed around the world. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد والحمد لله رب العالمين.